Good morning. I think I would travel 2 days with about an hour of sleep for that worship anytime. That was such a blessing. I hope you all appreciate the opportunity to worship in your heart language, to worship in your first language, because for us, we've been worshiping with you all online, but it's just not the same as being together. So God bless this church, and thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. So just a quick introduction for those of you who may not know me. My name is Jimmy Winfrey, and I am a missionary with an organization called Reaching and Teaching International Ministries, and Bullet Lick is our sending church. We were simply amazed by God's sovereignty in really kind of just intertwining our lives with the life of this church. My wife, Heather, was 15 years old when she was first invited to come to church here. She grew up in a family without the gospel, had never really heard it before, and had a friend who was a member of this church who she played basketball with at Bullet Central. And the friend invited her to come to church, and Heather would tell you that she heard the gospel multiple times, but she never heard it. Her ears were never open to the truth. Her heart was never open. But then she was invited to a summer camp, and for the first time, she heard the gospel, and the Lord Jesus saved her. And she was radically transformed. And from that point forward, she's been following the Lord, and she's learned so much of what she knows because of this church. And I'm from Lexington, Kentucky, and began to attend Boyce College. Heather was attending UK my first semester at Boyce, but she was coming back to church on the weekend. And I was attending the church, and so she kind of caught my eye, of course, and eventually had the opportunity through a little means of trickery to start to date her. I told her that I needed help with a PowerPoint project in class, as if I didn't know how to use a computer, but come to find out she knew less about computers than I did. But it all worked out in the end by God's grace. And now, not only to have had that history with this church that we just love so dearly, but now to have Dr. Orrick, who we've known and loved and respected for so many years, to be your pastor and to be our pastor, I'm just so thankful for the way that God, in his sovereign, and not just sovereign, but good and loving plan, has brought all these things together. It's amazing. So I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for giving me my wife. Thank you for giving my wife the Lord Jesus. And as a result, if you want to go to the first slide, are we there already? Go back to the first slide real quick. This was when we first joined Reaching and Teaching, almost 6 years ago now. We had two little babies. And then we were in the process of adopting a third. And then, as so often happens, we found out that Heather was pregnant as well. And so when we got to Ecuador, just a few months after this photo was taken, we had been adopted parents for about 3 or 4 months. And then in November of that first year in Ecuador, we had another baby. And it was really funny because he was quite a bit smaller than our first two biological children. And we just told everybody that it was because he was Ecuadorian. They're really little, and they think that's hilarious. But come to find out that we were able to be his dependents and stay in the country because of him. And so we're really thankful for him. And then now we have Wallace, who is the little blondie there, who's 15 months old. I was telling Miss Janice's Sunday school class this morning that I just thought Heather's grandma is from South Korea. And so I just thought the Asian gene would just dominate, you know, all of our kids. But we've had blonde ones, we've had dark-haired ones, we just never know what to expect. And so we're just thankful for each and every one of them. And, you know, the truth is that you all have a really large part to play in this family. And we just can't thank you enough. Well, I'm going to give a little bit of a presentation, but I wanted to preach as well. One of the things that we teach our pastors and that we teach our students in our theological education throughout the world is that the preaching of God's word is a central aspect of worship. In the gathering of his people on the Lord's Day. And so it's not going to be very long, but I did want to preach just a little sermonette, and then I want to give a little bit of an update on what's going on with us and reaching and teaching. So if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open up to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I want you to think about a question. If you had to give an answer to this question, what would you say? What is the greatest sin? If you had to think about sin in your life, what would you say is your worst transgression? So many of us would think about certain things that we do or certain things that we've said, but really, one of the roots of all of our sin, and in fact the root of sin from the very beginning, is idolatry. If you think about the reason that Satan fell in the first place, it's because he idolized God and his position and his authority. And he saw himself as worthy of having that same authority. Well, the truth is that so often we do the same thing. So often in our lives, even as believers, we are simply focused on our little kingdoms. Sometimes maybe you've heard before that somebody says that God is writing the story of the book of your life. And it's just little subtle changes in perspective like that that help to reinforce our idolatry. Because we really view God as the helper of our story. But what's the truth? The truth is that we are privileged to have a word or a letter in the book of God's story. Because in the end, it's his story. It's history, and it's his story. And for us to even have a small part to play is a privilege. And so often we need to be reminded of that fact, that we are not building our own kingdom. No, we are serving in his kingdom. I can remember one of my very first memories in life was a picture that my parents had on the wall of me when I was maybe 3-4 years old, looked just like Weston, building a sandcastle. And I can remember them telling me the story about how the ocean would come and knock the sandcastle down and I would just lose it. I did not like the fact that that ocean was destroying my little kingdom every time I built it. So I built it back up, and guess what? The ocean would knock it right back down. Isn't that the way it is in our lives so often? We're building our little kingdom like kids on the beach, and we fail to see the vastness of the ocean before us as far as we can see, which is just like the vastness of God and his glory and his kingdom, because we're so focused on this little grain of sand in front of us. I hope that this morning we would refocus ourselves on the kingdom and the glory of Christ that only he deserves. So we're going to see two things. What is the end of missions, and what is the means of missions? Just as Dr. Work just said, ultimately God not only ordains the end of prayer or the end of the world, but he ordains the means as well. We're going to see that this morning. So if you will with me, let's look at Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The word of God says, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." This first part of the passage is just a reminder of who we are as created beings. That none of us is worthy of fulfilling the purpose of God in history. If it were up to us, there would be no salvation. Not a single one of us would enter the kingdom of God if it were up to us and humanity in general. And that's why John is weeping. It's like the first part of Ephesians chapter 2, where it tells us our state outside of Christ. We're dead in our sins and trespasses. We're without hope. We are children of wrath. But then in verse 4 are two of the best words in the Bible. "But God. Thank you, Lord, that because of you, We have hope. And that's why in verse 5, we see that hope. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." You see, here we see that Jesus is the Root of David. He's the promised one that for hundreds of years the Jews were looking forward to, this one who could complete the purpose of God for history. And you see that this scroll is sealed with seven seals, this number of perfection. It's perfectly closed, perfectly sealed. But Jesus, the God-man, the King of Kings, is the one who can open and fulfill the purpose of God. In verse 6, "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." You see, this Lamb of God is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. These seven horns represent this perfect authority. These seven eyes is perfect knowledge. This is not just any man. This is the God-man, Christ Jesus, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing. He is worthy of fulfilling God's plan. And then verse 7, it says, "And he went," look at this boldness, "he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne." You see, we cannot approach the throne of God. As sinners, we cannot even get a glimpse of the glory of God without instantly perishing. But this man, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb who was slain, can boldly approach the throne of God and take the very scroll of human history from his right hand of power. Who is this Jesus? Then it goes on to say that when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. This man deserves worship. None of us are worthy of worship, but Jesus is worthy of all praise. And we see that praise in verse 9. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to open the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.'" And then down in verse 12 it says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory, blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory, and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." You see, Christ alone and his kingdom is worthy of us sacrificing everything we have in our lives. Only he is worthy. You see, each and every one of us came into this world with nothing. And each and every one of us will leave this world with nothing. But Jesus, the uncreated one, the eternal God, has owned all of creation from the beginning and will own all of creation forevermore. Our goal is not to build our tiny little kingdoms. Our goal is to have, by his grace, a part in building his kingdom for his glory. And part of that kingdom is participating in the Great Commission. You see, the end of missions, if we want to go to the slide after, I think Heather is right here, which, by the way, did we get this video to work? No. Do what? Okay. Heather wanted to say, Dr. Orrick told me that he was really excited about having us all here. He was so excited, and then I told him, well, it's actually just going to be me, and he was really disappointed. And he told me, well, maybe you could put Heather and the kids like on a T-shirt or something just so the people will see them. And I said, well, how about a video? And so she has a video to just say hi to you guys. It's not going to work. Well, just look at them and their pretty faces in Ecuador right now. Not going to work. That's okay. She's just basically saying thank you so much for the role that you've had in her life, and she's looking forward to seeing you in person sometime soon. But if you want to go to the next slide, John Piper has a really famous quote. where he says missions exist because worship doesn't. And really what he's trying to do is he's trying to get us to see the end of missions. Because ultimately the end of missions is not just the salvation of people, but ultimately the end of missions is the glory of God. You see, God deserves the glory. This lamb we just read about deserves the praise of every tribe, tongue, and nation, every person on this earth. You see, when we get to heaven, missions won't exist anymore, but worship will last forever. That's the purpose of missions, is to glorify God in all that we do. And so how do we participate in building this kingdom of God? Well, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I just want to talk briefly about the means of this mission. What is the means of this mission? As you're turning there, I just was thinking about that song that we'll be singing to the Lamb forever. And I know that so many of you guys have adopted, some internationally. And one day, through this means of gospel proclamation all over the world, we will gather with brothers and sisters in Christ from every tribe, tongue, and nation to worship our Lord as one family of adopted brothers and sisters forevermore. How glorious is that? That is what we have to look forward to. And guess what? Like Dr. Orrick said, it's a guarantee. It's a promise. The ends that God ordains will come to pass. We don't have to worry about it. And now we have the privilege of simply walking in obedience through the means that he has ordained so that he'll receive the glory. And I was thinking about that song that we'll be singing. I wonder if, you know, we'll all be singing one language. Maybe we'll all be singing in our own languages that we spoke on earth. Or maybe it'll just all be in Spanish. Because ultimately it takes an eternity to learn Spanish. We're going to need all that time, right? I don't know for sure, but I do know this. It will be glorious. That is for sure. And so as we keep that end in mind, as we keep our eye on the finish line, it should motivate us to fulfill the means through which God has ordained to accomplish this. And what are those means? Well, in Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1, we see that God has planned that the church would gather in order to send out people from among itself in order to reach the nations for Christ. In verse 1 of Acts chapter 13, the Word of God says this. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the mission, or for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. You see, the means that God has ordained is that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would select from among its people certain ones as apostles, which in the Greek simply means sent ones, or missionaries, which has a very similar meaning, that they would send out from among themselves in order to further this kingdom of Christ throughout the nations. And isn't it interesting that even as we're seeing, especially here in the United States, such racial tensions in our midst, which, this is a side note, but just from my experience in other countries around the world, let me say that racism is not an American problem. Racism is a sin problem. And it occurs in every country, in every culture. People are always looking for a reason to put themselves on a pedestal over other people because we are sinners trying to build our own little kingdoms. But what is the solution for this problem? The only ultimate solution is that we are one in Christ Jesus. You see, even in this first sending church in Antioch, we see the diversity of God's kingdom. We see clearly that Simeon, who was called Niger. Niger is simply a Latin term for dark. We see that this was a North African brother who was part of the church, along with Gentiles and along with Jews. You see, God has a plan not to just save one person or one culture, but to save for himself a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And you know, we have a little adopted girl from Ethiopia. just as many of you all have adopted internationally. And one thing that we try to emphasize to her is that it's not a secret that she's adopted. It's obvious, right? And it's so funny because in Ecuador, they'll ask, who is that? Where is she from? One time we were in an airport in Ecuador, and somebody, Waverly was just a little bit away from us, not very far at all. And one of the Ecuadorians started kind of in a panic. Whose girl is this? Whose daughter is this? We need to find her parents. We're like, we're right here. But we don't hide the fact from her that she's adopted because it's a glorious thing. It is a representation of the beautiful family of God from every tribe, tongue, and nation that will be adopted into the family of God because of our elder brother, the Lord Jesus, who sacrificed himself in order to bring us into the family and to receive the inheritance that in reality only he deserves. What is that inheritance? It's the nations. It's the nations. And we have the privilege of participating in that plan right now. And so we see here in Acts chapter 13 that God has appointed churches, local churches, to send out from within their midst members to reach the nations in fulfillment of this mission of God. And that's exactly what you all were doing with us. You all have been called to participate in the Great Commission. Every single one of you. It's not a great suggestion that you get to choose whether to participate or not. No, it's the Great Commission. But really, there are three ways in which you can answer that call. You can go, as we've been called to do. We have gone and been in Ecuador for the last several years now on the mission field, and that's in obedience to God's call on our lives. You can send. So many of you all are not able to climb the mountains of Ecuador or to go into the jungles of the Amazon rainforest, but you can still participate, and you're still called to participate, and so many of you all do that. Just by being, all of you do that, by being members of this church, and by praying for us, and by sending us. Or the third way that you can answer that call is you either go, you send, or you disobey. That's the third way. Because it's ultimately not an option for us. We are called to fulfill the very kingdom of God, and not to build our own kingdoms. And so, that's what we see here in chapter 13. A church that sends people, brothers and sisters, out for the glory of God. And that's what you all are doing in our lives. And so I just want to give you a brief update on what our ministry is doing as the Spirit, which we saw in this passage. It's ultimately God who is responsible for calling out people from within its midst, as the Holy Spirit has sent us from within your midst into Ecuador in order to fulfill the Great Commission. And so just want to let you all know what's been going on as a result of you all being our sending church. So if we want to go to this slide, so reaching and teaching is primarily concerned with creating mature, deep disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially among leadership in local churches around the world. So what we've come to find out is that for years and years, so many missionaries were going to various places throughout the world. They were trying to plant as many churches as they could, as quickly as they could, and then move on to the next place to do it all over again. And the result of that, as Matt Kuntz, who is one of our teammates in Ecuador, found out in Zambia, which was one of the most successful for this particular strategy of this kind of need for speed, he told us that in Zambia, over half of those churches that were planted by missionaries with that philosophy are now Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Halls. Well, why is that? It's because the missionaries never took time to obey 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul says to Timothy, "What you have learned from me, entrust to faithful men who will go and do likewise." And that's what we're called to do. We're called to raise up leaders, to train them, to help them to understand God's word so that they can then help their churches and their communities to do the same. Over 85% of pastors have no theological training whatsoever. And this lack of discipleship plays itself out in all kinds of ways. We see prosperity gospel especially creeping into churches. We see just a total lack of understanding of the foundations of the faith, such as the gospel. I shared with Miss Janice at Sunday school class this morning that one of the first classes that we taught in Ecuador, we had a pastor who had been a leader of his church for 10 years. We were teaching on the gospel, and the pastor raised his hand. And he said, "Wait just a second. You're telling me that I don't have to work for my salvation? I don't have to earn my own way to heaven?" And we said, "No, brother, Jesus did it for you." And that pastor right then and there prayed to receive Christ. Pastor. And we've seen situations like that over and over again where pastors just have, leaders of churches have no idea what the scriptures say because nobody took the time to disciple them. And if the leaders don't know the scriptures, then what hope do the churches have? For us here in the States, so often we don't even think about the situation around the world with our brothers and sisters in Christ like that, because especially in a church like Bullet Lick, who has been so privileged to have such faithful gospel preaching over the years, and now, in my opinion, one of the most gifted preachers that I've heard in my life, and Dr. Orrick, one of the most gifted men of God to lead you and to feed you every single week, we take it for granted what a privilege it is to be able to sit under Bible teaching and to understand the gospel like we have the opportunity to do so. That's just simply not the case in so many places over the world, all over the world. So in Ecuador, we've started several different classes. In Cuenca, where we are, we started a seminary, and we have about 30 students who come weekly to receive Bible training. We also have one-week classes that we do three times a year for 3 years for the students to receive a diploma, and we have those at several places all over the world. This particular class is in Guayaquil, which is the largest city in Ecuador, and we had a trip planned with Bullet Lick to go and teach there in March. But unfortunately, because of the virus, we had to cancel that. But as I'll talk about in just a minute, we want to encourage as many of you all as possible to experience ministering and loving on and just getting to know our brothers and sisters in this particular class of about 80 or 90 students in Guayaquil, as we'll have a trip there every year that you all will have the opportunity to go on. If you want to go to the next slide, this is one of our classes in Cuenca, where we live. We've had the opportunity to train hundreds of students throughout our city, and we have 200 students all over the country who are registered in our classes in Ecuador. If you want to go to the next slide. Many of you all, I'm sure, are familiar with the story of Jim Elliot and the five missionaries who were martyred in the 50s in the Amazon rainforest, which sparked a missionary movement by the grace of God. This is actually very near the place where the Guarani Indians murdered the missionaries in the Amazon rainforest. And we have several classes there where you basically have to take a bush plane out to this place, and then you have to walk about another 5 hours through the rainforest to get to this particular village. So we'll classify this as kind of a level B mission trip. So why don't you all come to Guayaquil with us first? You just land at the airport. We'll drive to the class. And then if you want to take it up a notch, we'll go to this one next. Okay, is that a deal? All right. Go to the next slide, please. Of course, with the virus situation, we've had to move everything online. But this is one of the most recent classes that I taught, where we had a group of several church planters throughout the country who were meeting with three times a year in order to help them to learn how to be a pastor, how to shepherd a church, how to plant churches. And so it's just such an honor. This took place just a couple months ago. But this has been the means of communication, unfortunately. Many pastors, obviously, in the bush of Ecuador and various places don't have access to the internet. But for those who do, it's been a privilege to be able to continue our teaching with them. If you can, next slide. So the question then is, how can you all participate as our sending church? We have several supporting churches, but ultimately, reaching and teaching is not sending us. They're organizing things, they're helping us, they're our organization, but Bullet Lick is sending us. We are your missionaries, and we are an extension of each and every one of you all. And so that's very important that you all understand that. And so even though we have several other supporting churches, individuals, I really want you all to take ownership of this ministry. I want you all to see us as an extension of everything that you're doing here around the world. That's our vision for this partnership. And so there are several ways that you can support us. Number one, pray for us. Pray for us. Spiritual warfare on the mission field is real. Not that it's not real here, it's just different. Satan is much more obvious on the mission field so often, at least where we are, than he is here. So often so many people just are so focused on material things here that they just forget about anything spiritual, and Satan's fine with that, right? But where we are, they are very focused and very superstitious, very focused on spiritual things. So spiritual warfare is real, and we simply can't do what we're doing without prayer from each and every one of you. And we have to have that. Additionally, pray that God would continue to send more workers into the harvest field. You know, this is my daily prayer in regard to missions, is that you could literally look at this world map that we have right here, which I'll explain in just a second. You all, especially young people in here, I would just encourage you. Maybe you want to be a plumber, or you want to be a farmer, or you want to be a businessman or a lawyer, whatever it is, consider doing it on the mission field, where there are literally millions and millions of people who have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. And if you're saying, well, where should I go? Well, you can think about what your desires are. You can think about where you might feel comfortable. Or you could just throw a dart at this board, and unless it lands in the ocean, right, if it lands on land somewhere, you could just devote your life there and still need lifetimes of work. That's how great the need is. So pray that the Lord would send workers into the harvest. And then also pray for my family, particularly for wisdom, reaching and teaching, changed presidents at the beginning of May. And the man who is now president, his name is Ryan Robertson, and he was previously in charge of mobilization. And mobilization is just a fancy word for recruiting and sending missionaries. And so after he took over as the president, we had a conversation about the potential of me taking over his position in mobilization. If that were to be the case, then we would need to transition back here to the Louisville area to primarily recruit at Southern Seminary and Boyce College and throughout the Southeast, while at the same time continuing to travel back to Ecuador several times a year, continuing to teach classes, continuing to lead trips like we would do with you all, in addition to traveling to different places throughout the world in order to teach classes as well. And so just pray for wisdom. I've been seeking godly counsel from men that I trust, like Dr. Orrick and others, in order to try to evaluate my giftings, because I'm sure you all know, as you try to look at yourself, sometimes you can't accurately evaluate yourself. It's usually an overestimate of your abilities, right? And so I want to seek godly counsel about this, but it's very probable that we'll be making this move. And if that is to be the case, then we would come back in late September, and we would be members of this church like we are now, but we would be here a lot more often. And so just pray that God would give us wisdom. And if we do come back, we need grace for the transition. It's obvious when you're going to the field that it's going to be really different, right? And they call it culture shock. When you move to another culture, you move to another country, it's shocking. At first, you go through this honeymoon phase where everything's really cool. Oh, the language is great. The food is so different. And then you go through a stage where, oh, man, the food is different, but in a bad way. Everything is not so great. Why do they do things this way and not that way? I would do it differently. It's a process that you have to go through. And it's obvious when you move to another country. But it's the same thing when you transition back after many years on the field as well. They call it reverse culture shock. When you're coming back into the culture, even if you're coming back to your home state, the thing is that, and Brittany's shaking her head, or nodding her head, she knows the truth about this, that even if you come back to your home state, all of a sudden it's changed, and so have you. You've adopted many of the cultural values from the culture where you served. The people can't identify with you. And so just pray for that transition, that potential transition, especially for our kiddos who, you know, Willow was 5 years old when she moved. She's 10 now, and so she's spent, and Walker was 3 and 8 now, spent the majority of their lives on the mission field. And so I just want to ask you all, as our sending church and what will be our home church, to just intentionally pursue the kiddos, intentionally pursue. I was telling Miss Janice's class, Heather would love to have one of the more mature ladies in the faith to just take her under her wing. We need that from you all. We need you to do that for us. So that's what we're asking you to help us with. There's a great book called Splashdown. which is about reentering a culture for missionaries. And so if you want to, read that book in preparation for receiving missionaries back from the field who are going to continue to do missionary type work, but are going to be stationed here in the States, living here in the States, and all those challenges that come with that. So please pray through that. Secondly, go with us. Whenever we get the trip rescheduled, I want to encourage you, please come with us. We'll have the ability to facilitate many different kinds of missionary activities. So the primary means is going to be, primary goal is going to be teaching, training pastors. So Dr. Warwick and I and others of you who are elder qualified and want to teach with us will be teaching. But others of you, the ladies in the church, for example, if you are gifted to teach, you can teach a women's class among pastors' wives. Some of you all know just how hard it is to be a pastor's wife, right? And they need support. And so often they don't have that education either. And so they need good Bible teaching. Miss Janice did such an awesome job teaching on prayer this morning. Something like that would be such a blessing to the women on the field. We'll also have the opportunity, if you're not a teacher, to come and do ministry during the day. We teach for 4 or 5 hours at night. We do ministry during the day. So we were planning on doing a volleyball camp. I think one of the members here was a volleyball coach. And so we were going to put on a volleyball camp because they love to play Equivolley there in Ecuador. There are several different types of things that we can do. So let me just encourage you. When we organize that trip, pray and seriously consider going with us. Because once you meet the people, once you get to know the culture, God is going to grab your heart. And my prayer is that, especially for some of the younger folks here, that you would go on this short-term trip and God would change that desire for maybe staying in the States for your career to going to the field, because he has changed the desires of your heart to want to live for his glory to the ends of the earth. And then lastly, you can give to us. Partner with us financially. As part of Reaching and Teaching, every single member of the organization has to raise their own funds. And at first, that was the only thing that gave me any pause about joining Reaching and Teaching all those years ago. But now I can honestly say that I wouldn't have it any other way. That it's been such a privilege to be able to invite people like you all to partner with us, to invest in this ministry, to be an extension of all the blessings that God has given you, to use those for his kingdom and not your own. I recently read where John Piper said that social media is perfect evidence that for modern day Christians, prayerlessness was not for lack of time. Right? Well, I think we could probably say the same thing about our lack of reaching the nations for Christ. It's not for a lack of resources, is it? The Lord has blessed this country. It's just hard to describe. When I came back, I just thought, it is so beautiful here. It is so nice here. And when you're in it, it's like the frog in the kettle, right? You know, it's just gradually getting hotter. You don't even notice, right? And it's the same thing here. That materialism of the States just can creep into your life so steadily that you don't even notice it's happening. And all of a sudden, it's drowning out your spiritual eyes and you're focused on the material. But instead of letting it negatively affect us, let's use the material blessings that God has given us to build his kingdom and not our own. Because ultimately, guess what? Our kingdoms are just like that little Jimmy Winfrey on the beach. I'm going to build it up. I'm going to be proud of it. And then 2 seconds later, it's going to be washed away. But that ocean of God's glory, that's going to last forever. So as I finish up, I just want to give you a couple of practical ways that you can fulfill these ways that I've asked you to participate in the Great Commission with us. I have prayer cards. And so I'll be at the back of the church. And I just encourage all of you guys to take a prayer card. I'll leave a few here as well so that those who aren't here and maybe are watching online can get a prayer card. Put this on your fridge, and just when you pass it, just say a quick prayer for us and for the mission. It has some information on how you can pray for us specifically on the back. And then I'm also going to leave this map, which has the locations of all the different reaching and teaching missionaries throughout the world. So we have about 30 missionary families that are spread all throughout the world, but we are praying that God would give us grace. If I take this position, of course, a lot of what I'll be doing is traveling, but also recruiting missionaries, especially at Boyce and at Southern, to go and continue to fill this map out. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this map here, and I want to, as we grow, I want to update it. so that you guys can pray about specific places. And if you choose a place, let's say you choose Japan, for example, then I'm going to give you the prayer card of the Bihars from Reaching and Teaching, who just recently moved to Japan and are serving there. And I want you and your family to be in charge of praying for them. Or maybe you choose somewhere in the Middle East, like here in Jordan, and you pray for the specific family, who I can't name, in Jordan. I want you to participate with us in that way, okay? Because we are ultimately all called to participate. And then, in addition to prayer, I'm going to, when we adopted Waverly, we did this envelope fundraiser, and I think some of you all gave to us as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put some of these envelopes, I have 15, I'm going to put them on a location like this, and it's going to be out in the foyer. And you all can choose a location, and you can choose an envelope, okay? And the envelopes have different amounts on them, and these would be monthly giving. And so all you have to do is choose your amount, choose your location, and then fill out this form. If you will, take a picture of it, send it to my email address just so that I know who has what place. And then there's a website on here to where you can just easily set up your monthly giving online. And what I'm praying is that Bullet Lick would be our main supporters. We, as I said, we have several churches, several individuals who support us. But if we're going to make this move back, then we have to raise about $750 a month, mostly for international travel. If I'm going to be traveling around the world, teaching classes and stuff several times a year, then we have to raise those additional funds in order to make that move back. So you basically have a couple choices. If you don't really like us and you don't want us back, then don't worry about it, right? But if you want us to come back, then we're going to need some of you at least to take some of these envelopes. But honestly, my hope is that all 15 of these envelopes, which equals the amount that we need to raise, would be taken by people at Bullet Lick. And so just pray. I'll have these envelopes at the back. If you want to say, hey, I want to go ahead and take one, then I have a place associated with it. I'll go ahead and give it to you now. But I'll also leave this, and maybe you all can put it in the foyer or somewhere, and just pray about it, take an envelope, and commit to partnering with us financially, praying with us, and going with us. Because ultimately, in the end, we're all in this together. Ultimately, in the end, by God's grace, here's the amazing part. He has saved fallen sinners like you and I, who were lost, dead in our trespasses and sins, living just like the world. He has saved sinners like that. And now he's made us into his ambassadors for his glory to the ends of the earth. What a privilege. What could be better in this life? What could be a better way to build the kingdom of God and not our kingdom, than to live for his glory and to take his gospel, the only gospel that saves, to the ends of the earth. Amen. Jim Bob.